You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast at savage.love.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
All right. Russian troops are massing at the Ukrainian border. Trump's GOP is pre-rigging the 2024 presidential election, and the Democratic Party doesn't seem all that interested in doing anything to stop that. They're probably having another Christmas party at Downing Street right now, and Nancy Reagan is trending on Twitter for reasons Nancy Reagan probably never wanted to trend on Twitter. She liked to suck dick, and she was good at it. Also, there are no more episodes of Succession for at least a year, so things are dire all over. There's a lot to talk about. But I want to talk about something that's not in the news, that's not so dire, something that's actually kind of trivial, but that could still get me in trouble, I guess. Because I rise today in defense of Gold Star Gay, the expression, not the gays. For those of you who may not know, a Gold Star Gay is a gay man who's never slept with a woman. I was hanging out with some friends this weekend, some vaccinated people over the weekend, over to the house, and that expression came up in conversation. And someone called it problematic, and I suppose it is. But how high a bar is problematic, really? If someone has a problem with something, then it's problematic, and since there's not really anything out there that someone somewhere doesn't have a problem with, that makes basically everything problematic to some degree. But in fairness, a lot of people have a problem with Gold Star Gay, the expression. The website QZ calls Gold Star Gay divisive. Everyday Feminism has a list of 6 reasons why no one should use Gold Star Gay, a list that includes that it's somehow transphobic. New Now Next asks if we're really still calling ourselves Gold Star Gays, and Affinity Magazine says we should dump Gold Star Gay as a label and don't even get them started on Platinum Star Gays. Now, people don't have a problem with gay men who haven't slept with women. Well, people who aren't right-wing extremists, religious fundamentalists, we're not expected to sleep with women. We are gay men. But people take issue with the way the expression seems to suggest that a gay man who's never slept with a woman has accomplished something, that it's something a gay man can or should be proud of, something a gay man might deserve a gold star for. I see it differently. I see it through the lens of, well, not to date myself, but I see it through the lens of what it meant 40 years ago when I first heard someone use the expression. Because back then, to be a gay man who had never slept with a woman, that meant something different. That landed differently. Just so we're clear, just so we're here, we're clear, get used to it. I am not advocating for the use of Gold Star Gay today. It doesn't upset me when I hear it, and it's not something I think we should waste too much time or energy trying to eradicate. I think we should let it go. We should let it continue to fade away. You don't hear it as much today as you used to. But there's also something that we should remember. What it meant to use that expression decades ago, in the 1970s and 1980s and even into the 1990s. Because when we used it then, we didn't mean, oh, vaginas are gross and my dick is better because it never touched a vagina, no girl germs on me. What it meant then, well, it was just rare back then. It was remarkable back then to meet someone, to meet a gay guy who'd never slept with a woman. Almost all of us had slept with women back then before we came out, not because we wanted to, not because we were good at it, not because we were sexually adventurous and no labels and up for anything. We slept with women because we had to. Compulsory heterosexuality. Look it up. It was a thing back in the day, back in my day, back when it wasn't possible to come out at age 12. It's not possible today for everyone everywhere, but it wasn't possible then for anyone anywhere. Back then, a boy couldn't get through high school, middle school, or college in one piece without pretending he was straight. And that meant getting a girlfriend. And often that meant having sex with that girlfriend with your eyes closed so you could pretend she was Andy Gibb or Sean Cassidy or Leif Garrett. That was something we felt forced to do, something we were coerced to do, something we did under duress. And it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair to us, but it was just as unfair to the girls and women we lied to about who we were and how we felt about them. Closeted gay boys had sex with girls and with women because no closet was really complete. No closet felt completely safe without a girlfriend or a wife. And we knew it was shitty. We knew it was unfair to the girls and the women that we lied to. To meet a gay guy in the 1980s who'd never slept with a woman, you were meeting someone who didn't do any of that, who didn't lie to anyone, who didn't build a closet for himself out of the broken hearts of teenage girls. To meet a gay guy in the 1980s who had never slept with a girl or a woman, it was to meet someone who was stronger than you were. Someone who resisted compulsory heterosexuality. Someone who was decent enough not to lie to and use girls the way you did, the way most of us did, the way I did. And those guys were rare, guys who hadn't had sex with girls back then. We didn't jokingly award them gold stars because they never got girl germs on their dicks. Most gay men do not have a problem sleeping with guys who've slept with women. Some gay guys are really turned on by guys who've slept with women. Think of all the gay men out there who are into straight guys, into servicing, aka blowing, actual straight guys who sleep with women, or into sleeping with straight-identified but closeted guys. For those guys, for a lot of gay men, girl germs on a dick is a plus. Like glaze on a donut, only makes it better. So, the gold star gays, it wasn't about never touching a girl. It was that they were stronger. They didn't cave under the pressure to be straight, to fake it, like most of us did, at least back then. They held out and they held up. They didn't use anybody. And that was something they had a right to be proud of. Something kind of, sort of, actually deserved a gold star for. Okay, before we start this show, the holidays are hurtling toward us. Magnum Savage Lovecast subscriptions make a great gift. Go to savage.love, click on Lovecast, click on subscribe, click on gift. Couldn't be easier. You can also order a copy of my new book, Savage Love from A to Z, at savage.love or wherever books are sold. All right, coming up on today's show, on the micro, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and joining me on the Magnum, Erica Moen from Oh Joy Sex Toy Returns to recommend some sexy, sexy sex toys that make great gifts, because it's not just stockings that need stuffing. This episode is brought to you by Allform, premium customizable sofas and chairs shipped right to your door. For 20% off your perfect sofa, go to allform.com/savage.
This episode of the Lovecast is brought to you by the good folks at Squarespace. They make it easy to build a beautiful website, blog, or online store. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
This episode is brought to you by Calm, the number one app for sleep and relaxation. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/savage.
Hey Dan, I'm a 37-year-old female. About 6 months ago, I hooked up with a guy who was about 25 at the time, and the sex wasn't that great, and he messaged me later to catch up again, and I said I was seeing other people and I didn't have time for him, which was mostly the truth. I just wasn't interested in seeing him again, but I hoped he would get the point. But a couple of months ago, as restrictions lifted, he messaged me again and asked to catch up. And I decided to be honest and I said that I wasn't interested in catching up because the sex wasn't that great. He didn't reciprocate oral. I don't come from penetrative sex, and he didn't ask or attempt to find that out and didn't really do anything for me. But I was telling him that because I wanted him to be aware of it and maybe he could use that for his next partner. I hope I didn't come across preachy, but my intention was to be to campsite rule him a little bit, I guess. He thanked me for my honesty and I didn't think I'd hear from him again, but last night he messaged me and said he was a bit drunk and he just wanted me to know that the first time we hooked up he was actually a virgin and that's why the sex wasn't very good, and he hoped I wasn't mad at him, but he thought I should know. I wish I'd known beforehand, or not at all, I guess. If I'd known beforehand, I would have done things differently, and I guess that's maybe why he didn't tell me. He didn't want me to know, because maybe I wouldn't have hooked up with him, but I feel like I probably came across like a bit of an asshole because I didn't know that he didn't know these things, and I guess now he does, but I don't know. I just don't really know what to do with this information, and like, do I owe him anything? Like, and like, why did he feel the need to tell me?
I don't think he called and told you that he was a virgin to make you feel bad. I think he called and told you that he was a virgin to throw himself on the mercy of the court, to give you more information. You had judged him, and I think rightly so. You had judged him as an inconsiderate, selfish lover, a shitty lover, not an unlovely lover, because he didn't seem invested in your pleasure at all. He didn't reciprocate during oral sex, which I'm sorry, even if you're a virgin at 25, you know that women have orgasms too. You know that women who like sex like to be pleasured orally, digitally, that hopefully even at 25, you would be aware that not all women climax during penetrative sex. Even if you've only consumed a steady diet of pornography, that's a fact that kind of goes around. It's not, I think, completely common knowledge, but it's not as freakishly uncommon knowledge as it used to be. And so he didn't arrive at sex with you, at partnered sex for the first time at 25, wholly unaware that women come and that men sometimes have to step up and do things to get women there, to get them to come. He was in bed with you, you made him come, and he didn't open his mouth and say anything. And maybe he was, you know, paralyzed by anxiety and, you know, was obviously he didn't want you to know he was a virgin. And then in the end, he fucked you so incompetently. He was such a lousy lay that you had to assume he was an asshole. And it would have been better if he'd told you that he was a virgin. Because then if you decided you wanted to sleep with him, you would have been more proactive in the moment about instructing him on what to do. You would have communicated to him in the moment, most likely, about your completely reasonable expectations where reciprocity was concerned, and then he could have made a good faith attempt, then he could have stepped up. But like a lot of people who hide the fact that they're virgins from their first partners, he went into that sex hoping you wouldn't be able to figure it out, and he was probably nervous about going down on you or touching you in a way that didn't work for you, because if he was bad at it, then you might realize, you might figure out that he was a virgin, which he was trying to avoid telling you. You know, he didn't want to use his words to tell you that. And like a lot of people who are virgins who don't tell their partners that going into that first sexual encounter, he was afraid that he might non-verbally communicate that if he was bad at the things that he attempted. And so he didn't attempt those things, which then made him bad at the big thing, which was sex, which is why you didn't want to fuck him again. And you told him, and I think you were right to tell him. Maybe he was right to tell you that he was a virgin, so that now you know that he was just bumbling and inept, not necessarily selfish and an asshole. And that's why he called you. He was stewing on it. You sent that message or text, or you called him and you gave him all of that feedback. You campsite ruled him. And hopefully, when he finds himself in bed with another woman, he will know to ask, to reciprocate, to communicate that he's relatively inexperienced. But he was also sitting there thinking, there's this person out there in the world who thinks I'm an asshole. And what I was inexperienced, uninformed, inept, inconsiderate, and I withheld something. I didn't tell this person going in something that obviously I should have for my own sake, but that she may have had a right to know and may have had a better sexual experience with me if she had known, if she had chosen to have that sexual experience with me, if I had told her. That's what was going through his head, most likely. And that's why he reached out and shared that with you. Not to make you feel like an asshole, but to make him feel like a little bit less of an asshole in your eyes. Oh, and P.S., just throwing this out there, he's a decent-looking guy and you liked his dick, and if he had known what to do, you might have had a better experience with him and you want to give it another go. That would be another good way to campsite rule this dude.
Hey, Dan. 29-year-old bi male from the East Coast of Canada. And I'm with this amazing girl. We've been together for 4 months. Everything's going relatively well. The sex is bar none. Second to none. It's, top notch. Talk about how much we love each other and how this feels different and yada, yada, yada. And I can't help but feel insecure still. And I hate that I feel that way. I don't normally feel super insecure in relationships. I'm usually the aloof one and the one that doesn't really give a fuck. For some reason, in this one, it's different. Yeah, like if we're chilling next to each other and she opens up her phone or her Instagram and I see that she's got, you know, dozen plus DMs, I just want to be like, hey, like, who are those DMs from? Or, you know, or at dinner, she's texting someone. Like, I have this urge to ask, like, who it is. And, like, I hate that I have that urge, but it's there. And, yeah, it's not a good look. It's, I really don't like it. She's just, yeah, we've all this stuff we talked about how love we are and, like, all this stuff. Great. And I love hearing that. But for some reason, I still feel insecure. She's, like, messy, beautiful. Maybe even a little out of my league. Maybe that has something to do with it. Any hints on, you know, ways to kind of quell those insecurities?
There's a line that's sometimes hard to see between trying to control someone with your jealousy and sharing with someone that you occasionally do feel jealous. It's a natural human emotion. We all feel it. And asking for some consideration around whatever triggers your jealousy. Now, this is really easily weaponized by controlling, awful, even abusive people, their jealousy. Like, oh, I'm having a terrible feeling. This is making me sad or making me feel insecure and threatened. Rage, 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 make you miserable. That's jealousy that no one should put up with. But a partner who says, you know, I really love you and I'm really into you and I know it's irrational and like unattractive insecurity, but when you start going through your Instagram DMs in front of me, it just like, it makes me feel jealous and I don't feel great about that and insecure. So just don't go through your Instagram DMs in front of me. And that demonstration, even though, you know, she's still getting DMs on Instagram, even though, you know, she's in the bathroom looking at her Instagram, she may be looking at her DMs, not in front of you, but that demonstration of consideration that she doesn't do that in front of you because she knows it makes you feel insecure and jealous and she doesn't want you to feel that way and you have no reason to feel that way, that itself, you know, it's not going to make you feel not jealous occasionally ever. It'll make you feel seen and cared for and considered and make you feel safer and more secure in the relationship as a result. That said, man, jealousy. Jealousy destroys that which people sometimes think, you know, jealousy is there to protect. You know, I'm being jealous of you and I'm gripping you harder and harder. And a jealous, controlling partner is unbearable. You wind up in a position if you have a jealous, controlling partner where you're constantly reassuring them that you're not thinking about leaving them, that you're not cheating on them, that, you know, you can't help it if people sometimes flirt with you and find you attractive. You're not in control of that. Eventually, you reach a breaking point where it's just not worth it anymore to be with a jealous person. And so the jealousy destroyed the relationship. The person who was jealous, was worried, would be destroyed by strangers on Instagram. And it's not strangers on Instagram sending DMs that destroyed the relationship. It's the grief that you were getting from your partner about strangers on DMs sending you, sorry, about strangers on Instagram sending you DMs. And so you got to be careful. And it requires a degree of self-scrutiny that not everyone, particularly everyone who is young, I think, this is often something it takes time and experience to work through. It requires a degree of self-scrutiny to know what kind of jealousy it is that you experience and express. Are you being jealous and controlling and abusive and threatening and insecure and awful? Or are you able to realize you're being jealous, contain your jealousy, talk yourself down off the ledge, as that ledge as much as possible? And then maybe not as a last resort, but at a time when you're feeling calm and you can express it without being angry, to say to your partner, you know, this, when this happens, I feel jealous. You don't like me when I'm being jealous or I'm feeling jealous. I don't like me when I'm being jealous. So maybe we could figure out a way to minimize this, like checking your Instagram DMs in front of me, or step around it. What you don't get to do, though, is tell your girlfriend she can't be on Instagram. What you don't get to do, though, is tell your girlfriend that she's in trouble if someone DMs her or someone notices her or thinks she's hot. She is not in trouble. You're asking for some consideration. You're asking for your irrational insecurities to be something that you don't have to think about alone. That's something that she will think about too, but you're not trying to control her. Terry and I love and get a lot of mileage out of our Helix sleep mattress. You know this. And now the same clever company that made our Helix mattress has started making sofas. And guess what? We love our All-Form sofa too. With All-Form, you can customize a sofa using premium materials and at a fraction of the cost of traditional stores. You pick your fabric, and it's a spill, stain, and scratch-resistant fabric. The sofa color, the color of the legs, sofa size, and shape to make sure it's perfect for you and perfect for your home. They have armchairs and love seats all the way up to an 8-seat sectional for everyone in your polycule, so there's something for literally everyone. And you can always start small and buy more seats later on if you want your All-Form sofa to grow and change with you as you grow and change and move. All-Form sofas are also delivered directly to your home with fast, free shipping. All-Form takes just 3 to 7 days to arrive in the mail, and you can assemble it yourself in a few minutes. No tools needed. Or have Nancy do it, which is what I did. She said assembling our All-Form love seat in our Savage Lovecast Studios waiting room was super easy. And I know it was super fast because it didn't take her long to do it. We love our All-Form love seat. It's a cool retro teal color and it fits perfectly in our studio. It looks great. And my butt says it feels great. And if getting a sofa without trying it in the store sounds a little risky, you don't need to worry. You get 100 days to decide if you want to keep it. That's more than 3 months. And if you don't love it, they'll pick it up for free and give you a full refund. They even offer a forever warranty, a literally forever warranty. To find your perfect sofa, check out allform.com/savage. And All-Form is right now offering 20% off all orders for my listeners at allform.com/savage. Let them know the Lovecast sent you at allform.com/savage for 20% off.
Hey Dan, Nancy, and the tech savvy at risk youth, 25-year-old cis straight male from the upper Midwest. My question has to do with my model girlfriend of a year and 4 months. Of course, I knew going into the relationship of her modeling, which I would say can be described as sexual in nature, due to it being revealing to the level that it is, that level being up to and including implied nudity. She calls it her hobby, while it also was one of her main sources of income via Patreon subscribers during her schooling. Does this qualify as sex work? In my mind, it does, and I'm okay with it, I swear. In the past, she has done other forms of sex work, selling feet pics and going on dates with fans for money. Again, doesn't bother me. You've even conversed half-jokingly about her doing OnlyFans, to which my response was, as long as I'm your dedicated co-star. The dating others might bother me if it were still a thing while we are together. What does bother me is the unfairness and hypocrisy and the vast difference in what we are allowed to do and have agreed to within the confines of our monogamous relationship. Can we even call it that? It feels like I am held to this strict one-sided monogamy, and she's free to do more monogamous-seeming things. I'm open to trying relationship dynamics other than monogamy, or whatever this is, but she's made it clear in what little discussion we have on the topic that she would not be. She doesn't want me following other models or girls because they are her competition, and it hurts her that I do so. Yet she can follow whomever she wants in the name of share for shares to build her following. I get the reasonings may be different, but the action is the same. And after all, I only have her word and don't really know what's going on between her ears. I keep thinking about if the roles were reversed, could she accept the things I have and do or am willing to? And the answer is pretty much always no. What do you think, Dan?
I'm trying to see this from your girlfriend's point of view, that she has a reason to be online and to be sexual online and to follow people who are attractive or who may be attracted to her on Instagram and other places because it's how she pays the bills, doing this kind of low-grade sex work or actual sex work if she's going out on dates with guys that she's met on Instagram who are paying her for her time. Even if nothing physical happens, that's a kind of sugar baby light version of sex work. And so she may think that because this is what I do to pay my bills, this is what I do to put food on the table for myself and take care of myself, I'm doing what I have to do. Whereas you, presumably, have some other income stream that doesn't rely on pictures of your ass or you going on dates with women who stumbled over your account on Instagram or OnlyFans, and therefore it's not the same, you being on Instagram or being sexual on Instagram or following people that you think are hot or who think you're hot on Instagram, because you're not monetizing that. But monetary rewards are only one reason people are open about their sexuality or on Instagram. People are also open about their sexuality for the affirmation. People follow people they think are hot on Instagram because it's nice to look at people that you think are hot. Isn't that what all the guys who are following your girlfriend are doing? Yeah, so while I can see it from her perspective, maybe, it doesn't make her position here any less hypocritical, or the standards that you're being held to any less double. Yeah, these are double standards. How much do you like your girlfriend? You sound pretty ground down. You sound pretty defeated. If she is the jealous and controlling type and she blows up at you in anger, or she cries and cries and cries and sort of weaponizes feeling super sad if she notices that you're following someone on Instagram who's in her league as hot as she is, or is a competitor, how much more of that are you willing to put up with? How much longer are you willing to put up with her hypocrisy, her jealousy, her controlling behavior, and these double standards? A month? 2 months? Okay, tell her she has a month or 2 months to get over it, that you're only gonna not follow who you want to follow for 2 more months out of consideration, but this is it. This is the end. And then do what you want to do. Be who you want to be online. You're entitled to a zone of erotic autonomy. And I think Instagram is one of those places where you can carve that zone of erotic autonomy out. And if she's not okay with it, well then, break the fuck up with her. Because you got to ask yourself, if you're not willing to break up with somebody who's jealous and controlling and hypocritical and very into enforcing or imposing double standards on you, okay, if you're not willing to break up with them for those reasons, what reasons are you willing to break up with someone? And how long, if you're not going to break up with them for those reasons, which to me seem perfectly reasonable reasons to break up with somebody, how long are you willing to put up with that? Again, you sound pretty ground down. If you don't break up with her over this or threaten to, another year, another 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, if it's an open-ended relationship, that's what you're looking at. That sound like fun for you to be with somebody who treats you this way, who makes you feel and sound the way you feel and sound right now? No, no. You're obviously not going to be with this person. You don't want to be with this person. You're not going to want to put up with this for 50 years. I don't think you should put up with it, frankly, for 5 more minutes. But if you want to give her another couple of months to get over it, get past it, maybe get into therapy, work on her issues, and then see where you're at, I would support that decision. I would also support, I would more enthusiastically support, ending this relationship now.
This show is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're setting up a business or getting a creative or political project off the ground, you will find an indispensable partner in Squarespace. They make it easy to put together a good-looking website, blog, or online store. They have everything you need: domains, marketing tools, analytics, e-commerce. Buying a domain from Squarespace is simple because there are no hidden fees or price hikes. Squarespace sells over 200 top-level domains, so you can find the perfect name for your website. Choose a URL that ends in .com, .net, .org, or get even more specific with one like .art. Ooh. You can put together video ads, launch online courses, put out a virtual tip jar. All the tools you need to monetize your website and reach your goals are there waiting for you. You'll create powerful email content that matches your website with your existing products, blog posts, and your logo, so your messaging is consistent and effective. And what's more, everything you make with Squarespace translates perfectly to mobile. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/savage and use the offer code SAVAGE.
Dear Dan, I am a 30-year-old Mexican cis woman calling from Mexico City. I've been going out with this guy for the past 3 months. He's very smart, very sweet, and very funny. We have great sex together, but A couple of weeks ago, I was trying to find one of our mutual friends on Instagram. So I went through the people he's following on Instagram to try to find this one friend. And very quickly, I noticed that at least 2 or 3 out of every 10 accounts that he follows pretty much look the same. And it's just a really plastic, busty, tiny waisted, fake ass, fake lips, sex workers slash models slash OnlyFans. And I've been really confused ever since. You know, I probably went a little too far and scrolled a little too far, but this trend started to appear more and more worrisome. I didn't go all the way through, but I really couldn't find any brown or black women on the accounts that he was following. They all kind of looked the same, which is this very plastic and stereotypical idea of a female body. And I don't know if it's a deal breaker or if it's just, you know, a red flag. I consider myself a feminist. I really only watch feminist porn that pays their performers really well and that also features a fair amount of body diversity and gender diversity. So it just seems a little basic and really a little bit against my principles. I don't know how to bring it up. You know, I don't want to like sex shame anyone. And I don't know if I'm judging his sexual preferences, but now every time that he grabs my breasts or that he tries to play with my breasts, I just can't stop thinking about all these accounts that just seem, I don't know, so unattractive to me. And I don't know if that says something about his sexual life or about the type of woman that he likes, about the type of woman that he expects me to be. And I don't know, Dan, any advice on how to go about this would be really, really helpful.
Even if this wasn't a deal breaker, I could see how having scrolled through your boyfriend of just 3 months, Instagram follows, all the women he follows, how that might be a libido killer. Not just because it doesn't demonstrate the same kind of gender diversity, racial diversity that your own porn consumption demonstrates, and credit to you for that, but because you don't see yourself reflected in there. It's not just diversity you're after or you're interested in or you notice the lack of, but he's not following any women who look like you. And if I were in your shoes, if I were in your place, I would wonder what was going through his head if he was my boyfriend when he was touching me. So you know what you know, and you can't unknow it. And it sounds like you found it out, not snooping. His Instagram followers are public. His Instagram account is public. You were looking for a mutual friend, and you wound up kind of doom scrolling through the women he follows and feeling bad about yourself, maybe on some level. No, I take that back. Not bad about yourself, but just wondering what the fuck is up with him. And then bad about the sex you're having with him. Bad when you feel bad when he touches you, which is, you know, if he's a sweet, smart, funny guy, certainly not the feeling he wants to elicit in you when he touches you is bad, conflicted feelings. But you're having bad, conflicted feelings, and you're going to have to process them. And the only person you can process them with is him and me a little bit, but I have to encourage you to process them with him, which means you're going to have to say to him, look, I scrolled through, I see these kind of pornified, cliche, wasp-waisted, big titty, fake titty, pumped up lips, teased out hair women in your Instagram follows, and nobody who looks like me, nobody who looks like most women look, just, you know, average attractive hot women like me, brown women like me. What's up with that? Then you're gonna have to hear what he says. It may be that, you know, when he's jacking off, there's a certain kind of cliche, hyper mainstream performance of femininity that just gets him there. And that's why he follows. Or maybe he just, you know, has a twitchy follow thumb and he's followed a few women he's attracted to who are all of one particular type. And then you're going to have to turn on the bullshit detectors and decide whether or not you believe him. You know, it may be that this is a type of woman that he finds attractive. It's not a type of woman he encounters much in his daily life. And so he gets that need met, that visual stimuli on Instagram. And they're not the kind of women that he wants to be with in real life. And in real life, he is with the kind of woman that he wants to be with. And he could say that, and that could be a lie. He could also say that, and that could absolutely be the truth. One last thing I want to say. You say it's kind of against your principles to consume, I guess, porn of just one, featuring just one kind of mainstream, cliche, conventional body type or form of gender expression. It's against my principles to police someone else's porn consumption. People often look at a particular kind of porn because it works for their reptile brain on a particular kind of level, and it's not what they want in real life or all they want in real life, but it can be their go-to. That may be true for him, and you may have to allow for that. And if what you see when you guys are having sex, or what you see when you talk about his dating history and you meet other people that he's dated or had sex with, that he's not in real life as limited as his porn consumption habits or Instagram following habits may indicate that he is, you may have to take that yes for an answer. And then you may have to step back and just not, you know, police the kind of porn he likes or the kind of women he follows on Instagram. And if you believe him, if after you turn on those bullshit detectors, whatever it is he says to you, after you process this with him, you believe that he's telling you the truth, then you may have to just let him have the people he follows on Instagram, not think about it, not scroll through his followers, and take that yes for an answer, and accept that his behavior and the way he moves through the world sexually and how he functions sexually may be different than the impression you may have gotten from the women he follows on Instagram might indicate. For a lot of us, this may be the first time we'll be spending the holiday season with our loved ones in quite a while, with family. Being together with family can be great. It can also be exhausting. For some of us, it can be really challenging. After long days filled with family, friends, and fun, wind down with Calm. Calm is the number one mental wellness app that gives you the tools that improve the way you feel. Clear your head with guided daily meditations, improve your focus with Calm's curated music tracks, and drift off to dreamland with Calm's imaginative sleep stories for children and adults. If you go to calm.com/savage, you'll get a limited time offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of programming, and new content is added every week. Over 100 million people around the world use Calm to take care of their minds. Sleep more, stress less, live better with Calm. For listeners of this show, Calm is offering a special limited time promotion of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/savage. Go to calm.com/savage for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I'm a straight cis woman in her mid-30s living in a major metropolitan city. I've been dating a bisexual cis man for the past couple of months, and he is the first queer person I've ever dated. He is probably the most caring, loyal, amazing partner I've had in a long time. I've never questioned his commitment to me. We are monogamous. When I told my close friends about his sexuality, they have questions, but they're usually very just curious and respectful and positive. However, this past weekend, I had my first really negative, upsetting experience with a friend who we've had issues brewing, but this just kind of came to a head. My boyfriend, my gay friend, and myself went out to a bar, and my straight female friend was meeting up with us. And when she got there, I met her at the front of the club, and her first comment was that she couldn't believe that I left my bisexual boyfriend alone with my gay friend. At that point, I didn't say much because she just got there and I didn't want to get into it. I was kind of honestly shocked, but the comments continued. At one point, she actually pulled my friend aside and asked if he believed if bisexuality was real. And then towards the end of the night, we couldn't find my boyfriend, and she continued to make these shitty comments, implying that he was probably messing around with some guy inside, and I just lost it on her. I felt extremely protective of my relationship and my boyfriend, who is an amazing person and whose loyalty I've never questioned. So my boyfriend has dealt, obviously, with these ignorant comments and assumptions for most of his life, and it kind of just rolled off of him. But I am very new to this world. I've always been an ally. I've always been extremely supportive of my queer friends, but this is the first time I've been, you know, personally invested or involved, and I'm having a hard time handling these kinds of comments. I realize that maybe something that a lot of people in the community, they've dealt with for a long time, but it's new to me, and I don't want to put all of my questions and frustrations on my boyfriend when he's had to deal with this for a long time. It's not his responsibility for, you know, me to figure this out. And I could tell he wanted to move on from the conversation. So I'm just wondering if you have any advice on how to deal with, you know, these kind of ignorant people and how to respond. I know I can't blow up at everybody, but, you know, with somebody like that who I had considered a friend, is it worth, you know, responding and trying to engage in a conversation? Do I just move on? I could really use your advice.
So the first thing I want to say is just like, Uncle Dan, Grandpa Dan being like a nag. 2 months, you've been seeing the guy for 2 months, right? And you're throwing around words like partner and committed, and that always makes me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's been 3 months, yeah.
And I think you can feel very powerfully for someone at 3 months. You can have a hunch that they're awesome and that you can feel like wanting to upgrade to partner, but you gotta, like, I always want to remind people to slow their roll. That said, Terry and I moved in with each other like 2 months after we met. So I am a hypocrite.
Right. totally get it.
How out is your boyfriend about being bi?
He is out. I mean, he will not, you know, if people ask him, he is honest. He's not just like coming out to people, you know, as soon as he meets them. And he's dated men in the past, dated women, mm-hmm. had sexual relations with both. So this is nothing new.
So who told this mutual, this friend of yours, who told her that your boyfriend is bi? Did he or did you?
So I had a conversation with her because I had considered her to be a close friend and, you know, was talking about it with her and was really not expecting the reaction I got from her.
And is it okay with your boyfriend if you tell your friends? I mean, you have a right to your own experiences. You're dating a bi guy. Is it okay with him if you tell people that he's bi?
You know, we hadn't had an explicit conversation about it. And looking back, I'm new to this, trying to figure it out. I'm realizing I probably need to, you know, ask his permission before I, you know, talk to any friends about this or, you know, anything like that. He, when we've talked about it, hasn't seemed to have an issue with people knowing. So I assumed it was okay. But yeah, it's definitely a conversation that I think we need to have.
Or get in a time machine and have before you tell your friend who had this shitty reaction. That then, it sounds like you went into like full warrior ally mode at that moment in defense of your boyfriend, but also defense of queer people. And I know that myself as a gay person, that sometimes I feel uncomfortable when people leap to my defense instead of letting me choose my battles and when I'm going to come to my defense. And remembering the moment and how it all unfolded, just me inferring from how you described it, it sounds like your boyfriend was a little uncomfortable with you going apeshit on your friend.
I don't know that he was uncomfortable. He later, you know, the next day thanked me for standing up for him. And we had, you know, a conversation about it afterwards where he said he realizes that, you know, he's been dealing with this for a long time and this is new for me. And, mm-hmm. you know, any questions that I have, he wants to be able to, you know, deal with it together and figure it out together.
Oh my God, I sound like I'm being so critical of you. You're like a wonderful straight woman. You're dating a bi guy. You identify as being in a queer relationship, which a lot of, you know, straight cis women who date bi guys sometimes don't do. They don't perceive themselves as queer.
Yeah.
And here I am like picking apart you using the word committed and like trying to get to the bottom of what went down that night. But it is something that, you know, as a person who's dating a queer person and considers themselves an ally to queer people and in a very real way, an ally, that you sometimes want to be careful of, that you're not fighting our battles for us, that you're, you know, side by side, you're in the trenches, but sometimes you have to like look to your queer partner and let them lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think because it's like so new and he and I hadn't encountered this before. You know, this was the first time that somebody's made these kind of shitty comments, mm-hmm. like in the moment. And that was just my initial reaction. And so now we're having those discussions that we hadn't had before.
So let's talk about your friend and what to do about your friend.
Yeah.
How much of an investment of time and energy is this person worth? Because you can drill down, or your boyfriend, although he's not friends with this person and maybe he doesn't want to expend the time or energy, but you could drill down with her about why her attitudes are bullshit and why she's obnoxious and that she wasn't just being biphobic. Oh my God, you left your bisexual boyfriend alone with a gay friend. Also, that's kind of homophobic. That assumes your yeah. gay friend would make a play for your bi boyfriend behind your back in a bar the minute you turned around. And maybe she was just like being drunk and thought she was being funny and shitty, but she was just being shitty. And if you like her and you have a history with her, it might be worth it to circle back and be like, is this actual shitty of you? Or were you just like thinking you were being funny and shitty and taking the piss?
Yeah.
Because you were, it was offensive. And if you actually believe these things, maybe we need to have a conversation, but you need to decide before you even initiate that part of the conversation, whether it's worth it, worth the time and energy and effort.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I've been trying to figure out because, you know, she's the kind of friend where my friends and I had to convince her to vote, and she has kind of made comments where she's a little bit more on the conservative side, but I always try to be open-minded, and this, I think, really showed her true colors.
Mm.
And I think, unfortunately, there were other things brewing between us, other issues, and this might have been the last straw, and I don't know that it's worth it. I don't think she was joking also.
It doesn't sound like someone you want to inflict on your boyfriend.
No.
Like given a choice between this guy that you've been dating for 3 months that seems wonderful, and let's extend him the benefit of every doubt, he is wonderful, and like a shitty friend. Although if they're conservative, please don't work too hard to talk to conservatives into voting. Maybe you guys could let that go. But
yeah.
Given a choice between these two people, run with the bi boyfriend.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but looking back, I'm like, oh, maybe this isn't all that surprising that she's had that reaction, which is, you know, you can't convince everybody of everything. That's what I'm learning.
You can't. And you have to, you know, you have to husband your own emotional resources. That's probably really sexist, that expression. I'm sure I'll get a couple of calls about it. You have to marshal your resources, although that's very militaristic. So I'll probably get a call about that too. Conserve your energies. And it doesn't sound like this person is worth the energy that you would have to expend to bring around. So fuck them.
Yeah, no, that was kind of my thought. And then my friend Josh, the guy who was at the bar with us, I was having a conversation with him. And apparently she had come up to him at the bar asking if he even thought that, you know, bisexuality was real. And this was the first time he had ever met her. So it was just a lot.
You know, long ago, I didn't believe in male bisexuality once upon a time. There's a whole chapter in American Savage about my kind of journey with bisexual maleness. And what brought me around was people like arguing with me about it, getting in my face about it. And me then like reading the research and, you know, I was a callow 26-year-old gay guy when I started writing my column. And so I like to think I was worth it. That energy that people expended on me to bring me around. But not everybody is. And it doesn't sound like this friend, former friend, conservative friend, asshole friend is worth the energy. Even, and I say that as someone who's maybe guilty of similar asshole sins as this person.
Right.
All right. Listen, I got to run. It was great talking with you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much.
You know, dating is like the process of peeling back those layers and getting to know someone. And, you know, you don't want to date people who your first impression is black. But I hope he continues to reveal himself to you to be everything that so far you believe him to be. And good luck.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Dan.
Bye. Okay, before we get to this week's listener response calls, let's read some listener tweets. Angus Edmund tweets, why so many calls from women who have proposed polyamory to their male partners who fervently said no until one day those same male partners turned around and said, oh, by the way, I met someone. I would like us to do poly now. That seems like a big red flag to me. All right, that could be a red flag, I suppose. It also, from another perspective, it could possibly be the yes the partner who originally proposed opening the relationship was waiting for. Sometimes one person suggests opening a relationship and the other person says no and then is inspired to change their mind down the road. Count Vaxula tweets, thanks at Fake Dan Savage for the mental image of a pegging conga line. You are welcome, Count Vaxula. And finally, Robert Bruges tweets, as a guy with some hair on my ass, I occasionally get ingrown hair pimples, which make me self-conscious around my partner. I wash my ass, cheeks, and whole. How do I avoid getting pimples? Okay, ass pimples aren't something we've talked about recently on the podcast or at all. So this is more of a question than a comment, but I'll bite. To prevent those ass hair pimples, you got to prevent those ass hairs from getting under your skin and becoming those ass hair pimples. You got to shut down the ass hair to pimple pipeline. To do that, it's not enough to wash your ass. You got to scrub. You got to exfoliate. Get yourself a loofah and scrub that ass pink. All right. Thanks to everyone who posted to social media this week about the Savage Lovecast, to Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. We really appreciate all your posts. Help spread the word about the Lovecast. And now, listener response calls.
Hi, Dan. I'm calling in response to episode 789 to the caller who wrote her former instructor on LinkedIn about a fictional anthropological project. I'm in academia, and I believe she has other options than the ones you suggested, Dan. Depending on the exact wording the caller used in her message to the instructor, she can either say that she meant that she was exploring possibilities of pursuing such a project, or she can thank him for his help and then circle back in a few months and say that the project got dropped. But would he like to meet up for a coffee?
Hi, Dan. This is in response to the caller who reached out to a former professor. I just want to say I'm a college professor, and I follow and connect with former students on professional social media because I want to see how they're doing in life. It's really rewarding to see them out in the world being successful. Also, I want to point out that even if someone is no longer a student, personal relationships should be taken with caution because former professors serve as references for jobs and write recommendation letters. So there could still be a power differential there. Finally, I feel really bad for this guy. He was so excited. A former student was interested in his specific area of research and requested his involvement. Professors spend so much time working in our niche fields, often wondering if anyone cares about the differences we're trying to make in the world. Honestly, I would be heartbroken if someone pretended to want to collaborate with me on my research as a front for when he does sex with me.
Hey, response call for the woman who made up the big project to get her old instructor's attention. You are so charming. When I heard that call, I thought you just seemed really funny and lighthearted. So I agree, you should definitely just come clean and just keep that personality going. I think that if you can make jokes about it, that will make it seem a lot less creepy. And at the end of the day, I honestly think that the difference between something being creepy and something being a cute little flirty twist is just how the other person feels about you. So I think that if he is into you, and you send that message where you just kind of make fun of yourself and come clean about it, he is going to find that so cute and charming, and it could be a great start to something.
And we're going to leave it there. Got a question for next week's show or a comment about the crappy advice I gave on this week's show? The best way to get us your questions or your comments or your compliments is to use the Voice Memo app on your phone and then email us your question or your comment or both to voicemail@savagelovecast.com. You can also call us old school style at 206-302-2064. The opening festival of Hump 2022 is right around the corner. Screenings begin late January and run to early March in Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, and Olympia. I will be hosting many of those opening weekend screenings and attendees in Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, and Olympia for the kickoff of the Hump 2022 Film Festival. Get to vote for festival winners. So yeah, democracy not dead yet, at least at Hump. Go to humpfilmfest.com right now to get your tickets. Follow me on Twitter at Fake Dan Savage. Follow Erica Moen on Twitter at Erica Moen. That's E-R-I-K-A-M-O-E. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian And me and the tech savvy at-risk youth and Nancy will all be back at you next week with another installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thank you for downloading.